Near-Death Experience Podcast, an ongoing exploration of spiritually transformative experiences, including NDEs and other phenomena, in order to elucidate the ineffable and better understand our spirituality. All episodes are available at ndepodcast.org. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and guests are not necessarily those of NDE Podcast, the NDERF, any sponsors, or for that matter, anyone else. In the end, the only opinion that really matters is yours.
Welcome to Near-Death Experience Podcast, the official source of audio accounts for the Near-Death Experience Research Foundation. I'm Chaz Hathaway, author of Life in the Spirit World, What Near-Death Experiences May Teach About Life on the Other Side. Today we're going to share the experience of Jesse, after which I would like to share an email from an anonymous listener that I think has some interesting insight about some of the things that I'm talking about in the podcast, how I share it, and I would love to hear your feedback on that as well, anyone else listening. So, but we'll start with Jesse's account. Jesse is a man who had his experience in February of 2001. Jesse says, "It took place in my flat in London, UK, on late February of 2001. After an exhausting day at work, I decided it was time for some release. Went home with my friend and his girlfriend and a lot of drugs. I went to the bathroom where I shot a lethal injection of cocaine and morphine. It was an instant death. Although I didn't realize it at first, I thought I was kind of sleeping. So I tried to stand up and literally came out of my physical body. The sound of that music I cannot possibly describe with words, because it simply cannot be heard with that clarity in this world. It was breathtaking. It was so beautiful. I was ready to explode from joy. I could see both worlds at first, although the physical one resembled a black and white movie in comparison with the world in front of me. The colors were out of this world, so deep, so luminous, so beautiful. There was a door in front of me, and I could hear joyous laughter coming from inside the door, coming from too many people. I had this uncontrollable desire to step inside the door and meet all those souls. My perception increased on levels I didn't think existed on a conscious level, although always knew them on a deeper level, locked inside of me. Home. That was home. That's the word that rang in my ears, so loud and so clear. I'm outside time, I thought. Time doesn't exist. I was ready to cross the threshold when I heard footsteps coming from inside the door. My hearing was so acute, I could sense every little detail. This man comes from the door. I don't think I can find the right words to describe him here. His eyes were like an endless sea of love. Too bright to look at his eyes, I thought. However, I started to get used to it. I know him, I thought. I know him. I've been knowing him for 1,000 years. 1,000 years is nothing here, too short. No, I've been knowing him for 10,000 years. 10,000 means nothing here. Time doesn't exist. He smiled at me while having those thoughts. Nothing is hidden here, and everything is revealed. He knew exactly what I was thinking with immense clarity, and I love him. I love him so much, so much love. I couldn't take it anymore. I thought I would explode like a balloon. He was gazing at me with this infinite love, infinite compassion, and infinite peace. I clearly sensed that everything I've ever done in this life was recorded, and he knew every little detail. He knows me. He loves me beyond description, and he knows I am trying to remember who he is because I forgot, as if I am waking up from a deep dream, trying to adjust to reality. That's what it felt like, waking up from a dream, waking up to who I truly am. And this life was nothing but a dream. In that glorious moment, I had one desire, and one desire alone, to come back to this life and have this experience of rebirth while in a physical body. He touched me on the forehead, smiling that compassionate smile, a smile of unlimited love, deeper than any ocean you can think of, knowing we'll meet again, and probably again, sending me back to my physical body. I just left for about 5 minutes of our earthly time. I found my friend resuscitating me. I was back. I am back, knowing we all live forever, joined together by this great life that orchestrates all physical life to the tune of love, the tune of spiritual evolution that everybody takes apart. Everything that we are meant to experience, we do eventually. God bless. And that is the end of Jesse's experience. And that is a thing that we heard a little bit in some of the previous experiences. This idea of everything that we are meant to experience, we do eventually. So interesting. So interesting. Okay, I was particularly interested in his description, first of the colors, his visual experience, so incredibly intense, like this description, which I've heard before. It's like having an old black and white TV and recognizing that as the way to you know, consume media, and then all of a sudden being exposed to, you know, these massive super HD screens and seeing that after being used to the old black and white TVs. They keep saying that this life is like the dull black and white TV and that side is like the super HD. But even that comparison, they keep saying, is far short of the full impact of what they're experiencing. It's just the best analogy they can come up with. And then he finds himself face to face with a man. He does not even apparently attempt to identify the man, except to say that he's known him for 1,000 years, 10,000 years, and beyond, because 10,000 years is nothing there. And he's recognizing that as he's standing there in front of this man. Whether it is God or another loved one, he doesn't specify. But the description of infinite love, infinite compassion, and infinite peace fits well the description that many give of God or of Jesus on the other side. He also says that I clearly sense that everything I've ever done in this life was recorded, and he knew every little detail. Now, Jesse doesn't describe a life review, but he does describe this recognition that everything that he'd ever done was recorded and known. And that is interesting. And then he describes, as I hear many describe, this life as being like a dream. Now, many people, when they first learn of near-death experiences, they wonder, well, was it like you had a dream of that? Did it feel like a dream? And the response is almost always the description that I've heard given is that no, not at all. In fact, it's more like this life is the dream. And when they are on the other side, that's when they are awake. And they can feel that, they can sense that there. When they come back, they feel like they've gone back into a dream, and it's all murky and not quite real, not quite full, not quite true experience while they're here. So that is so interesting, that description. The other side, both visually, both, he even talks about hearing. The sounds were so much more crisp and clear and detailed. He could hear so much more on the other side than he can hear, which is so cool for anybody who enjoys looking at a sunset or listening to the ocean or anything regarding the senses. You're going to experience it more intensely on the other side, from what I read in these experiences. Very interesting. Love that. Okay, I want to go to an email that I received, and I'm sharing this for two reasons. One, because I want to thank the one who sent this, because I want feedback about the podcast, and also so that the rest of you can comment on it, but also to share some of my own thoughts of why I've been doing things the way I've been doing them. Okay, without further ado, here is the email. So I posted on your latest reading, and I got really upset because you keep doing the same thing. Stop saying, I don't know. If you don't know, at least say, I believe. You have no idea how bad this, I don't know, turns off the listener, and you always do this. If you don't know and you're reading all these, then please stop. Everyone who's listened to all these, know, okay? Here's what we don't know. We haven't died, so we don't know the person's experience firsthand. But when you say, I don't know, then it makes it completely irrelevant of what you've read. I'm not mad at you, brother, but I cannot keep recommending people to listen to these and to have to send people to other sites to get information on near-death experiences. Your commentary goes way too far and longer than the actual experience. Someone has or had to tell you that you're doing a disservice to NDEs. It would be better if you never said, I don't know, and use more complex thought. Keep up the reading, though, because not many people have done it. Godspeed. Okay, so first I want to say thank you to this listener. I really appreciate the feedback, because, you know, I really do want to share in a way that is meaningful to people. Second, I want to say, I want to hear from the rest of you. If this is what you're all feeling, please let me know so that I can know how you are experiencing the podcast. And at the risk of sounding like I'm countering what they're saying, I'd like to talk a little bit about why I say I don't know so much. And I'll kind of end it with saying what I do know. With regard to that, I do want to say I apologize if it ever sounds like I'm saying I don't know if this person is telling the truth who's sharing this experience, or like, I don't know if that's really what happened, or I don't know if they're being honest, anything like that. I hope it doesn't come across that way, because I'd never intend it to be that way. I truly believe that everyone who has posted these things of the experiences that I've read is honestly sharing their experience exactly as they experienced it. I don't think there's any, I don't have any reason to doubt that they are honestly sharing their experience. Now, what I'm usually meaning by this, and perhaps I need to reword it when I say it so that it's more clear, when I say I don't know, often it's I'm looking at the bigger universal picture of what their experience means. Let me give you an example. Many near-death experiencers meet God face to face. They talk with him. They can describe him. They describe his laugh, his eyes. He's absolutely a very personal individual. Others experience Jesus at that same level of intensity. Others experience both God and Jesus. Okay? Others experience the oneness of the universe, okay, this source, as they often call it, this cosmic light, if you will, that seems to encompass everything. It's part of everything, it's in everything, it's the source of everything, and they call that God. And some people experience all three, God, Jesus, and this source, and as well as many other things. But the thing that the point that I'm trying to make is that some people, when they meet the source, this light, this orb, whatever this is in the universe that seems to encompass all, they call it God, and they say, it was made clear to me that God is not a person, that he is not an individual, that he is this expansive, eternal everything that is the unity of all things. And they state it as it was made known to them, as if it is fact that there is no individual God. Others experience God face to face, and they say, I didn't believe in God, and I experienced him face to face. Now, which is the fact? Those two ideas, that one is God as this source, and that the other says that this is God as this individual being with independent thoughts and independent experiences himself. I can't see how those two can both be true. However, it totally makes sense to me that somebody experiencing the source would interpret that as God, and that somebody meeting God face to face would interpret him as the actual individual being we call God. Same with Jesus. Same with any other beings that they experience. Okay, I'm just using that as an example. There are those who say in other experiences, they will say it was not a visual experience. They were experiencing the spirit world on this extrasensory level that goes beyond the senses, and that they never saw anything. And they conclude from this and give it as if it was revealed to them in this experience that there is no sight, sound, hearing, smell, and all that on the other side, but that it's just this extrasensory experience that is much deeper and bigger than the five senses that we're aware of. But then another experience will say it was hypervisual. It was not only visual, but it was more visual than you get on this mortal world. And they will say it was hyper, kind of like we did in this experience now. It was hyper audio. It was hyper kinetic. Everything, it was like the five senses were turned on overdrive. And they said there was nothing non-sensual about it, except to say that there were additional senses that were even deeper and stronger. So, and they conclude from that that this life is a dampened down version of the other side, kind of like our senses are calloused to the point where we can't, you know, they're filtered down, so to speak. I'm not trying to say from this that the NDEs of themselves, that the information they give is contradictory. I don't think it is. But the different conclusions that people have from their near-death experiences can be contradictory, and they often are, which is why in so many of these things, I, as an individual who is studying these things, can't say, I know that the other side is not a visual experience. I can't say that. But I can't also say that it's the exact kind of visual experience that we have here, but expanded. I can't say that either. What I can say is that based on these different things, it appears that some experience the other side visually and on an audio level, on a, you know, level that goes beyond what we experience here, and that others experience it as this hyper-sensual experience. So while those two can seem contradictory, if you were to just read those two experiences and say one of these two is wrong, I don't think they're both wrong. I think they've experienced the other side on different levels. And part of the reason that I suspect that is because when people go to the other side, some people just experience this sense of being out of their body, even though they don't go anywhere, experience anything. They're not even in necessarily blackness. They're just not anywhere, but they can sense their own existence, and they can sense maybe even a feeling of love or something, but there's nothing they can put their finger on and say, that is what I experienced. It's more like this very ethereal, barely just kind of stretching beyond the body kind of experience. And then others go on to have this incredible adventure in a body form that they can look at their hand and their clothes, and they can see the people around them and touch and smell and hear and taste, and they eat and they sleep and they do all these experiences that are like a deeply expanded, perfect version of a mortal experience. Now, which is it? I mean, both, because one experienced one and one experienced another. How can we experience things that are seemingly fundamentally different? I think the big answer there is that one went partway through the doorway and the other went through the doorway down the hall into the other room and onto a whole experience that was beyond what the other one did. And because we have these different levels of death, different levels of experience of the other side, some of which go straight to the spirit world that is somewhere beyond this mortal realm, and others that end up wandering around the earth and talking to loved ones and so forth, and they may or may not, you know, have any way of interacting with them, usually no way of getting a response from them, but they'll maybe sense their thoughts and feelings, but they're having this very spiritual experience on the mortal sphere, while others go to the other side and don't even see anything about the earth other than maybe popping back in their body when it's time to come back. My point in all of this, and I'm sorry to go on about this, is that what am I as a mortal being who hears these things and has all of this, these data points to work with, what am I left to do with all of this but to say, I'm not sure where the answer lies exactly. I don't know whether the other side in its, you know, say, years after somebody has died, are they experiencing this long-standing adventure going to different worlds in the spirit world and experiencing day and night and eating and sleeping and so forth on the other side? Or are they moving on to some expansive universal source light experience? I don't know that, because we haven't heard from people who have been gone that long. You know, you could argue that mediums have given information about that based on loved ones that they come in contact with, but those experiences seem just as potentially contrary to each other as near-death experiencers' experiences differ and seem to contradict. I don't think that the experiences themselves are contradictory. I think that the conclusions that people make from their experiences can be contradictory. Not that they experienced something inaccurate, but that they experienced something different than someone else. Now, maybe the using the word I don't know is not the best way for me to word that. I just can't think of a better way to word that, other than to go into, you know, whole tangent kind of thing like I'm doing now. And I apologize if that ever sounds like I am downplaying the experiences. On the contrary, what I'm really trying to do is take this puzzle piece that somebody has given us and find a place for it. And where does it fit in exactly? How does it match with everything else that we've learned from near-death experiences? Honestly, I've got so many pieces that I'm working with, and while there seems to be some overlap of different things that makes the picture starting to show in general, I can't see how it fits perfectly. And I don't even share. If there's an experience that I don't believe is true, as in they made it up or they were a little bit exaggerating for the sake of publicity or whatever, if I have doubts about the authenticity of the experience, I don't share it. I won't share them unless I say up front and afterward, I'm not so sure about this one. And I think there's been maybe one or two episodes where I've shared that just as a way of saying, let me be fair and share some of these that I can't fully subscribe to. You know, it sounds like they're trying to be a little bit, you know, they have another motive in mind or something. I don't know. But in those cases, I'm sharing it for the sake of the scientific exploration and being one who doesn't know exactly what's going on the other side. I'm left to take that scientific approach of, here's this data point, here's this data point, here's this data point. How do they fit together? Well, it appears that these fit like this, and these fit like this. But of course, we can't connect those completely because of these gaps in our knowledge of what's going on the other side. In a sense, you could say I'm trying to be, what's the term? I keep saying scientific approach. I don't know if that's a fair way of saying it because I'm not a scientist. I'm not one who works with hypotheses and you know, tracking of data in particular fields. I am an immersion researcher, I guess you could call it. Somebody who, to study something, I will dive into it and read everything there is to say about it everywhere, and then come up with my own conclusions based on what I hear. That's my approach. And it's probably not the most effective approach, but it also allows me the ability to say, I don't know if this is what it's saying, but here's some thoughts about that. I don't know if this is what it means, but here's some thoughts about this. Anyway, I would love to hear your thoughts on this. Am I saying I don't know too much? The other thing I would like to do in terms of saying I believe versus I don't know and so forth, and again, this is not necessarily the intent of the podcast, because the intent of the podcast is to share near-death experiences and put them in a little bit of context with other experiences that I've read. But let me share this. Let me share with you what I can say I know. And with regard to saying how I know it, that's a little bit more difficult to explain. But let me say this. In regard to spiritual things, I know that God exists. I know that He is our Father. I know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He was sacrificed on our behalf so that we could return to our Father. That ultimate sacrifice for our sins, for our mistakes, for our imperfections, is what makes it possible for us to overcome the challenges of this flesh mortal experience that keep us from being able to progress and grow. Through the atonement of Jesus Christ, we can overcome and grow and learn and progress. I also know that God continues to reach out and speak to man today. I know that He loves us, that He answers our prayers, that He is absolutely obsessed with our welfare and our eternal welfare, that He wants us to have the greatest opportunities possible. Those are the things I know, and I will stand by that knowledge to my dying day. Now, if you ask me, do you know that God exists? I will say, yes. Yes, I do. My own personal spiritual experiences have absolutely confirmed that to me. I know that. Now, if you ask me, do you know that on the other side, there will be water that has the properties of life? I can't say I know that, but I can say that there are near-death experiences that demonstrate that idea, that life, individual drops in the spirit world, have what seem to be a life of their own. They're able to communicate. They're able to speak to people when they get to the other side, as do plants and animals and every form of life, and that everything seems to have some form of life. Now, do I know that every rock in the universe is a life form? I don't know that, but near-death experiences suggest that there is something to that. Which leaves me to say, I believe that everything in the universe has some form of life. Now, I say I don't know because I want to make it clear that I'm not saying that near-death experiences prove that everything in the universe, including, you know, a cup of water. I can't say that near-death experiences confirm the fact that this is alive. That just adds confusion, because there will be other things that we find in near-death experiences that seem to contradict that. Now, do the different experiences contradict each other in truth? I don't think they do. I think it's just that we're feeling this elephant, as the analogy goes, of the blind man feeling the elephant. We're feeling different parts of it, and we're describing what we experience. And together, if we work it out together, and rather than saying, no, I know this is a tree, I know this is a rock, because I can experience it myself, or I talk to a man who experienced it himself, or whatever, if we limit ourselves by saying, I know this is a rock, I know it is. I know what a rock feels like, and I know what this feels like, and it's a rock. If we're saying that, then we're limiting ourselves to the ability to see the bigger picture. When we say, what I feel feels like a rock. I believe it's a rock. I think it's a rock, but I don't know for sure. Then when somebody else says, no, it's a tree, and they're saying, I sense that it feels like a tree to me. It has the texture of a tree. I think it's a tree. I believe it's a tree, but I don't know. Then you can take those two bits of information and say, maybe there's more going on here than we thought. And that's what I feel like I'm trying to do with near-death experiences. But I want to know your thoughts. I want to know whether you feel like my I don't knows are downplaying the experiences. And if so, please let me know, because I certainly don't want to make it sound like these aren't real, these aren't true, or something to that effect, or that I don't believe them, because I do. I do believe them. I just recognize that where there seems to be contradiction, it simply implies that there is more information that I don't have. And another way of saying there's information I don't have is saying I don't know. So let me know your thoughts. If you would like to contact the podcast, you can do so by either emailing chaz@ndepodcast.org or john@ndepodcast.org. You can also support the podcast by purchasing my book, Life in the Spirit World, What Near-Death Experiences May Teach About Life on the Other Side, or by going to patreon.com/ndepodcast and becoming an ongoing monthly contributor. And with that, thank you guys so much again for listening.